Hello, welcome to the Lead Space Leadership Podcast. At Kinetic Leadership Consulting, we put your energy in motion to lead. With our Lead Space Leadership Certification course, in partnership with the University of Charleston School of Leadership, as Lead Space Leadership teaches effective leadership by using articles of engagement as scholar practitioners of leadership, it is vitally important to continue having leadership development discussions, to share our tactics, techniques, and perspectives by telling a story or sharing a message that may very well be the advice someone needed to hear, to help them with their leadership journey. Again, welcome to the Lead Space Leadership Podcast with Dr. Cesar Kellum.
Your advice to the world, you know, and what you want to share. So with that, I'd like for everybody to help me welcome Chief Chris Ross, who is the Installation Fire Chief at Selfridge Air National Guard Base in Michigan. Chief Ross has been a firefighter for 36 years and has, in my opinion, and the opinion of the United States Air Force, extensive experience in what it takes to be an effective leader, as indicated in the selection of his firehouse being awarded the best medium fire department in the Air Force in 2022, only the second time a guard base has ever been selected for that level of a recognition. Chief, let me start by turning my mic off and giving you some applause. Chief, how does it feel to hear me introduce you that way as a firefighter of 36 years and to be at that level recognized, not for you as an individual, but for your leadership? How does that feel?
You know, it's humbling. It's humbling because 36 years goes by so fast. And it's a culmination of, you know, hard work from the ground up. And it's an evolutionary process. It's an organic process for me. But, you know, I've always been willing to and really want to give all the credit to the people that do the work, you know. And at one point in time, that was me. At this point in time, it's not. So the task-oriented things, getting the job done on the fire ground, are things that we pass off to the guys that actually get dirty and do the stuff and take care of the systems and take care of the programs. Mm-hmm. And I'm a manager at this point, and my leadership is based on allowing people to do their job, empowering them to do their job, giving them all the tools and resources to do their job. And it's amazing that the things that people will do and the lengths that people will go when you give them all those resources to be the best that they can be. It's a phenomenal thing. So we write the packages, our department gets the credit. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get a lot of credit for good stuff, and I get a lot of credit for the stuff that might not be so good.
Yeah.
But overall, yeah, it's not me that does the work. So it's humbling for you to hear you say that. And it's very, you know, I'm glad that you invited me to the podcast today. I have great respect for you and all the work that you've done, and I'm very flattered to be here.
I appreciate you sharing that. And I'll point out that when you're describing, if you empower your people and give them the tools that they need, you brightened up a little bit and you smiled and you smirked like you've had this conversation before with, like, just get out of their way. It sounds like you're get out of their way and let them do their job, give them what they need, and the mission will be taken care of.
Yeah, micromanagement it's not my bag because I didn't appreciate it. So right. I was never at my best when I had somebody standing over me. I was always at my best when somebody would give me a task, would give me a job, would give me a project, loosely give me the guidelines, tell me what the standard is, and let me ride. Let me do what it is that I want to do with it. And consistently, you exceed what it is that standard is, because I think innately from my perspective, I always wanted to be great out of fear that I wasn't going to be great. Mm. So I excelled in my opinion, because I was always afraid that it wasn't going to be good enough. And so it's always been my, thing that I do in the firehouse is to make sure that, you know, I give those people the same chance and I don't stand over them and tell them how I did it or what they should do. And I'm consistently amazed at the work that gets done.
Well, based on that accomplishment, it's easy to tell that they just work as hard as possible to get the job done. I appreciate that. And that's the whole purpose, Chief, that I wanted to have you here on the podcast, because While lead-based leadership, shows people how to dedicate their time and energy to be the most effective leader they can be, these types of discussions, I think, and I thank you for sharing the passion for serving of others, to the advice that you've got, or maybe even a story that we end up sharing today could truly help somebody. And, we did a pre-brief, and I like to follow a little bit of that framework of the what, so what, now what, but those questions, they're just a springboard for ideas and experiences of stories we're probably not going to even remember until, we really get into our dialogue. So anything you'd like to add? That was a very short intro. So that was the core picture, if you will, as an old enlisted weapons controller. Right. So if you've got any other, I'd love to, looking over your resume, I'm not going to prime your thoughts, but I tell you what, man, that your time at Goodfellow was impressive, bro. So I just loved reading that. So I just said I wasn't going to prime you, and I kind of just threw that out there anyway. So let's, if you don't mind, if you've got anything, we'll jump into, I talked about the framework of what, and I shared with you the question, and it's, I love keeping this framework for all the podcasts. The last podcast was with Dr. Cook and Special Warfare. And I just love the lead-based leadership and leadership discussions in general. It crosses industry lines, it's multidisciplinary. So we'll jump right into it, Chief, with what. So considering the changing landscape of leadership, and when I mean that, I mean about technology and the things that we experience, what do you believe are essential qualities or skills in order for leaders not to just thrive, not to just survive, but to thrive in their leadership role?
I personally found that change is not a bad word. You have to be willing to accept change. You have to be willing to be able to cross the boundaries of all the different, I feel like, the people that you work with, all the different generational people that you work with. Technology is so much more important now in my career field than it was when we started. And as rudimentary as firefighting can be, it's amazing how much science has changed, how much the process of commanding incidents have changed, tools and equipment like drones, things that we use on a daily basis now that even when I came in were not even available, not even remotely available. So my ability to change and my ability not to resist that change, I think, is the most important leadership quality right now that leaders moving forward can use to pull the new generation to where leadership is ultimately going to go. The new generation does things faster, quick, fast, and in a hurry is what I used to say. That was the Marine Corps mantra. When I would work with Marines at the fire school, that's how they did business. They did it quick, fast, and in a hurry, and speed sometimes meant proficiency. Not always, but that's how they equated it. They just didn't want to waste time. So that's kind of the direction that's allowed me to change. And again, based on the fact that I've been in this position since 2009, if I didn't evolve and wasn't willing to change, it would be very difficult for me to draw in new employees for to allow my guys to be successful, because you can only be a dinosaur for so long before you end up turning into a fossil. So it's been important, and it's important to have good people. Something very important that I've learned. Not everybody can do this. However, you have to surround yourself as a leader with good people, people that may be more capable than you in different facets of what you do. You can't be afraid of somebody that's coming behind you that might have more something different to offer. You have to share your passion, your enthusiasm, and you have to embrace all the qualities that they bring to the table in order to be successful. And you can't be afraid to bring in those bright minds and those people that are wanting to excel no matter what their aspirations are in the long run. You have to embrace that, and you can't be fearful of it.
It reminds me of that commercial one time. It was a CEO and his deputy was beside him. He's like, "Hey, you're investing all this money into our people. What if they leave?" And he goes, "Well, what if we don't and they stay?"
That's right. That's right. And you can't be afraid that they're going to leave, right? I've been in government service for 37 years, and we practice leaving. We're always leaving. We leave every 4 years. And I don't know if we discussed this in my pre-brief, but there's the indispensable man element, which means you can make as much fuss as you want while you're there. But when you leave, it's going to be in the same state as it was when you got there, and the next person's going to come and take it from where you left it. So we practice that in the military, and we practice that in the fire department, because people don't always stay, and the best people are going to go. You're going to lose them, and you have to recruit talent. That's one thing, but you also have to foster talent. You have to grow talent, because there are people that want to stay too. There's people that are more committed. I'm an example, being at the duty station where I'm at. It's a destination. Because it's the only place in fire protection as a firefighter in civil service in Michigan that you can have a full-time firefighter job. So I tend to get people that come to my location to stay.
Be vested, yeah,
Yes, for sure.
for the long haul. Yeah,
Yes.
that's awesome. Well, and
So
it kind of reminds me of our earlier discussion before we'd even got into these questions, you know what I mean, about empowering your folks, you know, and not a lot of folks can do that. You know, you seem to be very aware that almost like a if you were to do something, like you would have a micromanagement flag go up and go, "Whoa, wait a minute, that kind of goes against, well, I'm not supposed to be doing that." No, yeah, go ahead, tell me what you need. Have a blast.
right. And we learn. I've learned as much from, I want to say this in the right way, but leaders that, in my opinion, weren't like me. But I've learned as much from, about leadership, from good examples as bad examples. So I've taken those examples of leadership that I might not have appreciated, and I've incorporated those ideas to say I don't want to be that type of leader because it didn't work for me. So our spectrum of leadership, again, goes to knowing your people. It goes to communication. I had that written down. I haven't even touched on it yet, and I know that you touch on it, but the communication piece in my business, we can't say the word clear when we're on the flight line because we don't want to land an airplane. So communication in the words that we use, we have to choose. The ideas that we send across have to be clear and concise. They have to be repeated, and they have to be understood to make sure that we're doing all the right things.
We'll see, and that's kind of where we're going next, and I'm glad you shared that because it kind of makes me think of, you know, that's why at the, you know, in year three during the doctoral research, you know, the program, you know, I wanted to look at defense support of civil authorities because the phenomenon of effective leadership was so different. You could see someone who had experience, but yet was in a difference, maybe not a flood or a fire, but you know, the oil spill, and you expect great results, but it's just so different. Their leadership style didn't work. But you could see someone who was brand new, you know, who was open to new ideas and approaches and the collective, if you will. Hey, I don't care where the good idea comes from. I don't care if you're a senior airman. You know, that always aggravated me. If we could pause, we'll just branch off. And that's, yeah, the beauty of the framework. It always aggravated me that, you know, you could be in a conference room and there could be people around, but if they're in uniform with rank, you know, certain people's words with rank got weight. But if everybody was in civilian clothes and that idea came in, you know, you weren't like, "Well, wait a minute, you're an E4." It was the greatest idea. And I think that's what our leaders did and during our world wars was, I don't care where the idea comes from, you know, which makes me ask, you know, does the chef listen to the dishwasher? The chef doesn't care where a good idea comes from. You know what I mean? Why, somebody figure out why this isn't working or how this would work better. So that's kind of what that makes me think of.
Yeah, our communication piece. So this was when Miss Ross and Miss Callum were at Selfridge and they were doing their off-site meeting. And I did a small presentation for their group of people in AQ, and they're all remote. And my piece was on communication, what we call the 7 minutes of communication. First 7 minutes is the most important to set your groundwork to make sure that your operation from tip to tail is going to be successful. So 7 minutes is the time that we get dispatched, so we get the call to the time we arrive on scene. And we have to set the framework for all that. Now, that's not just on a fire ground. That's all the time. You get a phone call. You don't know who it is. You don't know if it's the general, or you don't know if it's the janitor. So you have to, you're constantly making these assessments. You want to know what the issue is. You want to know what the problem is. You want to use the time that you have available to listen, to come up with a plan, and to, in a very short amount of time. Also, in my time as an instructor, many, many times my students had way more experience than me. And in that experience, I use the 7 second rule, which is 7 seconds of silence to gather your thoughts before you spit out something that's either not true or inaccurate. After 7 seconds, it's proven to be an uncomfortable silence. But up to 7 seconds, you're thinking about it, and you have a chance to redeem yourself and say, I don't have a good answer. I can find you a good answer. And you get a lot of street cred in the classroom when you're talking to people that are very experienced by going through that. And you learn from those experiences. And again, my communication process was valuable in that because I was a younger instructor at the time, teaching much older people, which had way more experience than I did.
That is a certain level of self-awareness and self-leadership, I think, that could be very valuable for a lot of folks. I mean, we're clearly into the second question, which is, what you think is the best strategy or approach that has led to your success, which is clearly communication. The 7 seconds or even the 7 minutes of communication remind, I mean, just like in the List Web Controller, we use brevity and terms, and I use in critical thinking, I use in least-based leadership, I show the overall model. I think is extremely important to start off with is critical thinking. How if I can
Absolutely.
show you. And pointy talkie, if you will, to how I'm thinking, then most likely we can compare and contrast, and where do we think we agree?
Right.
And so to be able to step through your mental model, just like we did this pre-brief, the whole reason why I gave you somewhat of a framework was to go, hey, I hate it when somebody goes, the interview board is like, hey, well, tell me what you think the most important ESF is. Ready, go. Well, wait,
Right.
that's a very large, it depends on
Of
the
course, it's
disaster.
ESF4, it's the fire
Of
department.
course. Well, I know that. And then you gotta start to rescue, but
That's
anyway. All right,
right,
brother.
that's
So communication, and I shared some of the critical thinking. Anything left for the so what, maybe for your approaches or strategies that
I have written down a few things. I'm just going to refer to this because of the difference. So again, drawing back on my military experience to my civilian experience,
Right.
military does things in a very direct fashion to create or complete a task at hand in a relatively short amount of time. So in my fire chief tenure, 15 years, I've had the luxury of time and distance that I call it. Time meaning I don't get to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you what I'm going to do. And over the course of time, you're allowed to make your own decisions on where the direction is that we're going. So for me, I've had the luxury of being in my position long enough where my time and distance creates trust, consistency, expectations in the organic nature of what my job is, which is to give you everything you need to be successful. That's my job. So in my job as a fire chief, I'm not doing the task stuff anymore. I'm not driving on the trucks. I'm not doing any of the fun stuff. I'm doing all the stuff that allows you to be successful ultimately from tip to tail for the whole group to be successful. So that is for me, the rest of the so what is the difference between what I determined to be the military leadership model, which is to fix things when they're broken or to achieve an objective in a amount of time, to letting the process play out, and having the luxury of having that time. And again, to me, that's foundational because I don't have those issues anymore because everybody in our department knows what the expectation is, and it's been bred, and it works, and it's sustainable, and it's long term. So that's been a successful part of my tenure at the South Virginia National Guard Fire
I like how
Department.
you said it's been bred, almost like it's been baked in. You know what I mean? It's not an afterthought. You know, these things are maturing together. And you know, when I first, because lead space leadership came from the DISCA study, I really thought that this would only resonate towards, you know, emergency management or first responders, you know. And I did a podcast with Linda Bucher, and you know, during that one, she's like, no, dude, this is for like the small business owner or the people that want to be more effective with the small, you know what I mean? High demand, low density assets people, right? The solopreneurs, the small business owner, so that it's not just for the front line or for executives. So if you start, as we talked about earlier, you start looking at your critical thinking and start sharing ideas, you know, across the board. I like that, the bread and baked in. But earlier, Chief, I hadn't thought about this in years. I was with a good friend. I was Air Command Staff College, and we were doing our PT. And a great friend of mine, a great guy, the best, Wyatt Kelso, he was sharing one of his mentors' sayings to him about being a commander. And I would imagine it's the same as being a chief, especially at your level, you know, to only do those things that a commander can only do. That's all you should, you know, everybody can't just sign off on it. So you should be only doing those tasks. And it sounds like you didn't need to hear that from me, but I just, to put a bumper sticker on it, it sounds like you're truly living to that credo.
I love that. I love that saying because it's true. And sometimes, sometimes as we progress, we lose. It's like starting out as a player, and then as you graduate through the course of your time, you're no longer a player. You're a manager. You're a coach. You're an owner. So there's still things out there to do, and there's still challenges. But the love of the game is what got you into it. And so, you have to find that love at another level, and then you have to make sure that you allow the love of the game for your current people to be fostered and to, elevate the group as a whole. And so I love what you said about this emergency management thing. This is why I'm going to tell you why. Because we talk about incident management. So for us, it's the incident command system. We use it for everything. I'm planning an air show. I have a very soft ICS setup for planning our air show. There's no emergency. We're in planning, but I'm using all of my elements of the incident command system to make sure that our fire department and our emergency responders and our medics and our security forces, because in the Air Force, the fire department is responsible for emergency management. We're responsible for any major accident or natural disaster, fires on point, because we are the most trained in ICS and in incident management. So we use it for everything. So in your leadership model, it's true. It's not just management. Look at across the board, look in industry, look in corporate America. We have people that have run furniture companies, that have run airlines, that have run car companies, and they're just great leaders. And they don't necessarily have to be, technically proficient at selling an airplane versus a car. They're just great leaders, and they take care of the things that need to be taken care of, logistics,
You
people.
know, and as you say that, brother, it makes me think of, I was talking with Scott Caywood at World at Work, And we were having a great discussion. I think you and I may have even discussed a little bit of this, is that, those leaders you're talking about in those other industries, if you could sit down with them and go, "Hey, make me another you, ready, go," I don't think that
Right.
they would have the recipe. And that's kind of what I'm saying is, you, Chief Ross, have developed, on the left side of this, you've developed your, human capital. You've developed your ability to critically think and make decisions and solve problems through debriefs. And a lot of us have, especially in the military. But on the right side of this, at the end of the day, it's really about that supported discipline, which is your social capital, developing relationships, responsibilities, and roles. And I guess I say it like that, and if you can, just I hear the passion in my the energy in my voice, is that I could take that mold and put it on some of those successful leaders and go, "I'll bet you a dollar that these are the things that you've done very, very well and how you've been successful. And could you imagine sharing this?" And that would create another chief. That would create another CEO of a large industry. So I appreciate you sharing
I
that. That's
love the right side. I love the right side of that model, because the right side of that model, as you have it displayed, shows me that, those are the things. Those aren't widgets. Those aren't things that those there's those aren't products of a production line. Those are products of communication. Those are products, like you say, of trust,
I like
of
that. Yeah.
building, of making sure people know what their responsibilities are, priorities, their roles. And the explanation of that is, to me, the key component of running any organization. You can't make good widgets if you don't have good relationships, if you don't have trust, if you don't have consistency, if you don't
Yeah.
have all those foundational leadership things. We talked a little bit today about foundational leadership, and building that foundation is the basis of a sound structure. And again, to go back to another leadership book that we spoke about, if you ever are in peril, if you ever do fall down, you have to go back and build from the basics. You have to build the foundations. We call them, in my career field, firefighting essentials. In baseball, they call it fielding a ground ball, learning how to bat, doing the basic things right. If you can do all the basic things right, then you're going to be successful. And so those essentials are the most important things. And sometimes we get too far over our skis, and we start doing fancy stuff, and we forget about the fundamentals, we forget about the basics, we forget about the essentials, and we make mistakes, for me, on ladder raises, or we make mistakes by not sounding roofs. We make mistakes by doing things faster and out of order. And only the only time we get to reevaluate that is when there's a mistake made, and we do a post brief, and we discuss in the post brief that this could have been, thank goodness it wasn't, but it could have been catastrophic.
Could have
And
been
for us,
bad.
catastrophic is it could be a loss of life for somebody that we're trying to help, or it could be one of us. So
Well,
very important.
I love you that you bring in the debrief, because that's, in operations, we debriefs save lives. Bottom line, debriefs save lives.
Absolutely.
You can find
Right.
that number one debrief focal point that, and okay, maybe not to be so dramatic, you can also use debriefing for your organization, like a picnic. Wait, you'd be like, "Are you kidding me? You didn't plan a backup for because you had a picnic at 2 o'clock in the Panhandle, Florida? It rains every day at 2 o'clock in the Panhandle, Florida, right? We didn't plan a
Or
backup, right?"
the sand fleas or the mosquitoes are out.
Yeah, or the no-see-ums, right? You didn't think about it. Yeah, it's pretty
That's right.
out, but as soon as it's pretty, those no-see-ums are coming out. Chief, I don't want to kill your
Right.
clock. God
Right.
bless, man. I love this. I'm gonna move on, because I think I know where we're about to go. We haven't said the word bow yet, and I know you're a huge football fan, and you're like, "I've been waiting for this question all day." And the third question, really, for now, what is your advice? Building our discussion, what actionable advice would you offer to leaders seeking to adapt their leadership approach to meet the challenges of today?
I think this. I we I'm starting to lose experience, and losing experience can be detrimental, in the organization, because if we don't pay attention to history, we're liable to repeat it. It can be a problem. So I feel like capitalizing on the experience of those who came before us. And again, the good lessons and the bad lessons is the key to success as we move on. I feel like the progress of the newer generation is going to carry our career field and carry us forward. Mm-hmm. However, I believe it's very important to maintain that communication with who came before us,
mm-hmm.
and understanding the value that maybe the generation that I'm from has, which is looking somebody in the eye, paying attention to somebody when they're talking to you,
mm-hmm.
Interpersonal communication, making that connection, finding what I call whatever lane you have in the highway. It could be a 10% lane. Me and you might not see eye to eye on 90% of the things, but you know what? I found 10% that me and you can get along, or we could talk about something,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to stay in that 10% until I'm comfortable to go to 15% or 20% or 30%. Maybe you're going to teach me something. Maybe I'm going to teach you something. It's going to expand our lane.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the key, is to make sure that we continue to integrate the new with the experience that has come before us, and not to just cast it aside, because sometimes when we lose that experience, it doesn't come back, and you lose it forever.
You know, it's when you say that, it kind of makes me think of, you know, so what would be the divide between, you know, the older, you know, the newer generation and the old folks, you know, the gray beards in the organization? And I guess I would implore everybody, and I kind of teach this in the relationships, or it's just my perspective, is that, okay, you can connect. The first time you meet somebody, you're like, hey, hi, my name is Caesar. My name's Chris. We are desperate, whether we know it or not. Where are you from, Chris? Oh, I'm in Michigan. I was born there. You know, do you watch sports? Yeah, I like football. What, pros? No. College? Yes. Wow. Okay. There's two. So we're almost at 10% now, right? We can.
Absolutely. We're at 10%.
Yeah. So I guess I just want to, you know, never throw those relationships away. We can always reconnect. You know, there's a way for us to find common ground, at least in the smallest of ways. Easier said than done, I'm sure.
Yes.
No, I appreciate that.
I'm connected to people. I'm sorry.
No. What were you saying?
I'm connected to people that are diametrically opposed to me. Some of my very best friends are Ohio State people, and
what?
And most recently,
okay,
Dr. Caesar Kellum is an Alabama fan.
Roll Tide.
So painfully, Roll Tide, right? Painfully,
you know this is not going to make it in the podcast, right? You know this is not
this
gonna,
year
you know,
where we were. We were versus each other, but my point is that I love connecting with people, because through that connection, I respect where it is you come from, and my, you know, one of my greatest leadership mentors, like you said, Bo Schembechler, his greatest mentor was a gentleman named Woody Hayes, and they had the 10-year war between Ohio State and Michigan, which made it the greatest rivalry in college football.
Yeah.
So, but it was a deep respect. It was a deep love that those gentlemen had for each other, but they also had a passion for what they did. And they had a passion for their organizations. They had a passion for their teams. They had a passion for their fan base. But they also had this unspoken admiration and respect for each other that I find when I connect with a rival. I always want to know where they come from. I want to know what their traditions are, and I respect their traditions. And I think that it's something that you have to open up your mind to allow happen, aside from, you know, being sheltered or you know, not letting somebody in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate you sending me that book and sharing the story of Bo as well, especially in his leadership and the response to sudden change in the book. I think it's page 235 or something like that. It was impactful to me, you know, on how he specifically taught that, you know, if there was a turnover, you can cry about it, or you can go, okay, well, that one didn't work out, and really, instead of taking the lull and the energy, because the offense is ready to go now, right? There was a turnover, and now the defense can either sulk or they can step up to the challenge. And it was, I mean, he literally had the stats, like 63% of the time it was a defensive stop and not, a score.
Yeah, it's what we call in the sport momentum, and stopping that momentum, and good things happen to, bad things, excuse me, happen to good people. And it's a matter of stopping whatever it is that could be adversarial, or what could be unfortunate, or what could be bad. It could be a hurricane, it could be an act of God, it could be an airplane crash. Okay, that happened. How are we going to reverse course of that sudden change and turn it into something, and turn it and make it so it doesn't grow, right? And in my business, we have priorities: life safety, incident stabilization, and property conservation. So at each level, those are tiers of us stopping that momentum, or stopping it from getting worse. And that was quintessentially, like you said, has to do with the sudden change. You have to stop. You have to change course. You have to regroup. Sometimes you have time to do it. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes it
Pivot.
happens fast.
Pivot. Put your head on a swivel.
That's right. That's
Chief, I tell
exactly
you what,
right.
I'd like to review real quick, because I'm screaming in my mind that, in a backwards order, we were talking about communication and how that clear, concise comes. And I guess we didn't really spell it out, but you've got to work out these comm contracts beforehand, before you even need them. You've got to be able to practice them. You've got to be able to let everybody absorb the meaning and, behind the words and our brevity. But in the second thing, I think I would just make sure I walk away from, I believe, is, and QC me on this, if you will, is number two, is how passionate you are. Every leader should be about empowering their folks with the tools and the things that they need, and get it out of the way. It's a member of Jim Collins, just, you get the right people on the bus, and they'll get it where it needs to go. You don't have to direct it anymore.
Yes.
Did I hear you
Right.
right on those two,
And
Chief? Yeah.
you couldn't be more spot on in regards to, everybody has a philosophy, but my philosophy is give them what they need and let them do their thing. Let them work, let them thrive, empower them, to challenge them to do things, throw things out there, let them think of things, let them brainstorm, right? We brainstorm all the time. There's no limits to our brainstorming sessions. What could so we have, in again, this is a career field thing, but there's probabilities and there's possibilities. We plan, we do our incident planning for the probabilities. Those are the things most likely to happen. But we have to also take into consideration the possibilities. So in my career field, the possibility would be, two airplanes that happened to hit the World Trade Center. Nobody ever thought that that would happen. You don't plan for that. So we have to, the spectrum for us is wide. We have a wide berth. We have to prepare for, all things, within reason. You have to plan for the things that are most likely to happen, but you also have to have a plan for things that might be on the outskirts of what you would do, because if they happen and you're not prepared for it, then freelancing, comes into play.
Not enough. You don't want freestyle on that, most likely, and most dangerous courses of action. And it reminds me, Chief, of what is the saying? None of us are as good as all of us. And bringing that to the table.
Right.
Chief
Yeah.
Ross, I
It's
can't thank
a
you
it's
enough, dude, for doing this Lead Space Leadership Podcast, man. I hope you had fun. I hate to even stop. I mean, you and I could talk, for hours on end. Maybe that'll be the next. Maybe the essentials, to effective leadership from Chief Ross. I think I just signed you
I
up for the
like it.
next
I like it.
podcast. I appreciate you, brother.
Not
God
bad.
bless.
Thank you for listening to the Lead Space Leadership Podcast. Learn more at www.leadspaceleadership.com and check out the Lead Space Leadership Certification course being offered at the University of Charleston. Take care and God bless.